had a guy spend $5,000.
Have you guys ever been to Miami?
Like spent $5,000
dinner.
Just one, like, what, his family?
No. I don't know who he was with.
$5,000 on a dinner. That's crazy.
You know, I had another guy spent, he dropped $30,000 at Mr. Jones. Somebody please tell me what Mr. Hell? Jones is.
What the hell is
gotta
that?
Gotta be a strip club. Gotta be. With food. $20,000.
Like, did you go to buy a rental property with that?
So, in your position, that you are in now, like,
half that is
you see their finances. Do you see them, like, their daily spending and you control it?
Everything.
Okay.
So you're reaching out to them like, hey, yo, I just saw you spend $5,000 on a dinner. What are you doing?
Yes.
You're like their coach, but not on the field with their finances.
Hold on,
the real question is, if you didn't message him, do you think he would know that he spent that? So he's living.
So he's just
They're relying on him. I tell them this stuff.
It's not a secret because, like, I'm black and I own my own business and I know how this is. Like, if he goes broke, they're like, who the fuck was your financial advisor?
Mm. Oh, so you have more responsibility behind it. Yeah.
And so, all right, dude, you ain't have no joke on my white.
This episode has been brought to you by Quick Drip IV, the number one place for IV hydration therapy in Pittsburgh. So today, man, we got a special guest here to talk about some finances, investing, what to do with your money, you know what I mean, and a host of other things, man. I want to welcome Kevion to the podcast, man. Appreciate you coming, man.
Thanks.
Yes, sir.
That's my first podcast, fellas.
Oh, yeah?
Really?
Yeah. Okay.
Sorry to hear that, bro. You started at the bottom.
Hey, you got to start somewhere.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We here.
I ain't going to say we're the bottom. I think we're in the middle of the road.
It's crazy.
I'm middle of the road. You know what I'm saying?
I think highly of us.
Right.
So where you from, Kevion?
I'm from, originally, I was born and raised in a place called Robertsonville, North Carolina.
Okay.
And then when I was 7, 8 years old, I moved to Greensboro. I don't know if you guys are familiar with
North Carolina. How close is that to J. Cole?
Fayetteville. You saw him taking the pictures on the roof?
No, I didn't.
All right. Nah. What about DaBaby?
Nah, DaBaby's in Charlotte.
Okay.
DaBaby's not. I think he's from somewhere else, but he moved to Charlotte.
So he's not clap from, at him.
He's not from. I'm not trying to die. In Walmart.
right. Boys is crazy.
Yeah.
So how'd you get up here?
So I playing football. I had a full ride to Penn State. So.
That's dope.
Yeah.
Don't.
That's right there.
When did you go up there?
I was there from 2007 to 2010.
Okay. So what was, picked Penn State?
Pop and them came out right before then?
Who?
Puzz.
Lesley.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was like.
He left there like 07? Before.
Yep. He was a year before.
So you was there with like Dan Connor?
Yep. He's a senior when I was a freshman.
Quiet as kept, the best linebacker, yeah, athletically.
He was a dog.
He was a bat, but he was a. Yeah. Apparently he was an asshole, allegedly. But he was a dog. You know who DC is? He went to Strathatham out there, out east. Oh, he was a bad boy.
What made you pick Penn State? I'm sure, like, if you got a full ride there.
Bro, you just wanted to.
I was actually just telling, I don't really tell a lot of people this story. So I had about 31 offers coming out of high school. And I really wasn't that good. At least I don't think I was that good. High school.
Football. Penn State full offer? Not that good?
Football, yeah. So
I was walking on.
So when I moved. When I moved from Robertsonville to Greensboro, I lived with my dad made me play football.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean,
shout out to dads.
And so, it was Trotter. I started playing football, rec league. And, like, the first practice, I got the wind knocked out of me. And you guys know. If you ever got the wind knocked out of you.
7 years old, first time it happened to me. And I thought, like, I was dying.
And, like, you try to like, hold back your tears, like, type thing, because you don't want to look like a pussy. Right.
Yeah.
And I was like, I hated football. And so my dad made me play, like, every year. I fell in love with basketball. I love basketball. To this day, I suck at basketball, but I love it. And so I played from, like, third grade to eighth grade. it was in camp, and I was holding a dummy, right? And it was just like little short dude. He was coming to form tackle, right? And so I'm not holding a dummy like I'm supposed to. And this dude comes, hit it over aggressively, fucking
over aggressively,
break my wrist.
Right? Dang.
And coach, let's grow up. Coach was like, I'm like, coach, I think I did something on my wrist.
He's are you hurt or are you injured?
He's like, oh, you'll be all right. So I was like, all right. Fucking, I couldn't turn my wrist.
That's every coach.
I couldn't
That's
turn. Every so coach. I played through the whole practice. At the end of the practice, I was like, coach, like, my wrist hurt. And he was like, stick your arm out, son. I stick it out. He was like, can you turn it? I was like, I literally couldn't turn my
it's
wrist.
It's over.
He's like, yeah, you probably broke it. So my dad picks me up from practice. My dad's like 6'5", like huge dude. I was like, dad, I broke my wrist. And he's fucking like flaming, like super hot. And it like scared him. He's like, you don't ever have to play football ever again.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, yes. And I ended up finishing that season. And so ninth grade, I ain't playing in North Carolina. It's hot as balls.
Right.
So he's like, just go out for camp. And, you know, if you don't want to do it, don't do it.
Just go out for camp.
So I went That's out. The worst time it was one day. Worst so it was time. One day. I went out for like, it was a camp or a practice or whatever. And it was, I was like, dude, I'm not fucking doing this. So I didn't play ninth grade, played basketball ninth grade. And then 10th grade, I was, like I said, I was decent. And so a bunch of the coaches kept asking me to come out or whatever. So I went out 10th grade just because my friends, right?
Mm-hmm.
Summertime.
All right.
I was home
whatever
by
your
myself.
Friends is doing, what are you right. going to do?
Yeah,
sit at
so
home all day?
I was like, nah, I ain't staying at home. So I ended up going out. And doing decent, and then I was the only kid that got moved up sophomore year, and it sucked because I was the only one that got moved up.
And you just came out.
No, he didn't play last year. But the varsity team went 0-10 that year.
Yeah,
and the JV team was
Detroit
like
Lions?
Rocking.
Was killing.
Yeah, I'm like, dude, I don't want to go and play for these, you know.
Yeah.
And so, and my JV coach was like, just think about it as going like from the G League to the NBA.
I was like, nigga, I don't know about the G League.
And so that's kind of how it started, man. And yeah, so my junior year, actually, crazy story. I don't really tell people this. I had this thing in my knee called OCD. It's called osteochondritis disease. Basically, where a piece of my cartilage in my knee didn't like grow attached to like the whole kneecap.
What the
and
hell?
And so growing up, I would always have knee pain in my right knee, and I was bigger than most of the kids my age, and my doctor was like, oh, it's just growing pains. And so I finally
got dumb
to,
in the 90s.
Yeah, hey, listen.
I finally go to an orthopedic, you know, they did an MRI and I'm like, oh yeah, this is like way worse than, you know, growing pains. And they were like, you gotta have surgery. And it's junior year. I was like, I can't have surgery.
That's the most important year,
if
really.
If I'm gonna do anything, I gotta play. And so I ended up just like playing with a knee brace, and you know, by the grace of God, bro, I had a good year. I had surgery right after.
What position did you play?
I played DN. I know.
Okay. I get it.
I should have played outside linebacker, but I went to Penn State. So, go back. So, I get all these offers. I actually didn't want to
Did you get
Penn
offers
State.
Your junior year or
I
your
started getting
year?
Offer my junior year, my after my junior year.
What was your first offer?
Carolina. North Carolina, Chapel Hill. And that's where I wanted to go.
Oh, that's dope.
That's what I'm saying. That's right.
Why would you go there?
I'm a huge Carolina fan. Like basketball, like MJ's my, you know, the GOAT.
Mm-hmm.
And
but you went to Penn State.
So I wanted to go to Carolina. I ended up not going because I went on family vacation for my junior year and to the Bahamas. And my dad wanted me to go to Penn State. Joe Pop put it in his head. He was like, if he wants to, you know, be independent and be a man. Like, he needs to, you know, separate from the flock. He needs to.
Well, that's what I'm about to say. Like, Penn State is in the middle of the state. It's the only thing moving out there.
Yeah.
And like
8 hours away
they
from
are,
home.
They are superstars out there. You know what I mean?
And if I would have went to Carolina, I wouldn't. I would have.
Back and forth from home.
I got a lot of girls pregnant, and it would just been bad. I was 45 minutes from home.
Yeah.
And I was wild in my senior year. It was the best decision I ever made. But anyways, the reason I went to Penn State was because me and my cousin, we went to the Bahamas with my family. We go to a family trip every year. And we were 17 at the time. In the Bahamas, you can drink like 18. And my dad's super strict. So we're buying these chicks drinks. And I go to the bathroom. And my dad would collect Rolexes. And he was like, I see him as I'm walking to the bathroom. He's like, hey,
shout out to Brooklyn.
I want to show you this watch. I'm like, all right, dad, but I'm trying to get back to the bar. So I forget to go back and see him. He taps me on my shoulder. He's like, let me see the check. And we had Vine, these girls, like Gold Schlager. I don't even know.
Gold Schlager.
Yeah, yeah. Hey. Oh, he was young. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He was definitely young.
Oh, yeah. He was doing it.
We're buying these six drinks, and he looks at the tab, and then he doesn't say a word, and then he just leaves. And I'm like, fuck, dude. I'm going to get my car taken away.
Mm-hmm.
Like, seniors, you know, my seniors are going to suck. And I always try to, like my dad is, like, my biggest idol. And I'll tell you guys more about, like, our story. But so the next night, I'm like, fuck, like, let me try to do some damage control. So I was like, fuck it. So the next night at dinner, I stand up.
And hey, Dad, like, what's up with that Rolex?
And I was like, Dad,
I'm going to go to Penn State.
I'm going to go to Penn State. Yeah.
He's like, you know what, man? I'm gonna get him off my back.
I want this for me, too.
Right.
It worked. I think it worked, too, because I got back to the crib, and he was like, don't, you know, he gave me a lecture about drinking, and I didn't get my car taken away.
Okay.
So, that's hilarious. Hey. That's good. That's a good story.
That's why I went to Penn State, right? Like, mm-hmm. Education was, like, the most important thing in my household. So, like, it wasn't like NFL or die for me. It was like, all right, you play football, you got a free education, great, but I'm going to eventually have to get a job. So
yeah,
so you I think about if that, you have most that mind, you got to have that mindset to be able to play that sport, or you're just not going to be good. Because it's like, why the fuck am I taking on this spill block?
It's crazy because, like, I looked up. Why? I looked,
it's
major,
not fun, dude.
Your major is finance.
Finance.
So you know, like, D1 athletes are usually business majors.
No, but well, I actually went there.
That's real. Like, how do you pick finance?
I actually went there to be an engineer.
See,
I wanted to be.
See, that's what people don't understand. Like, people like go to college. Like, when I went to college, they my major there was like, "Well, what do you want to do?" My exact words were, "I want to do my own shit.
Want to run a business.
I said, I want to do my own shit. They sent me up for business classes. I didn't know what a major was, so I'm going to classes. I see my boys. I'm like, oh, we all the same. Just going to class.
Yeah.
See your boys.
Yeah, every black guy that looked like me and dressed like me up at UP.
Yeah, but everybody does
was
that.
All business management.
Yeah. That's really? Terrible.
Business management.
You can't do nothing with that unless you got bread.
It was RPTM, which is restaurants, parks, tourism. So I would, what the like, hell? I would look at my RPTM. I'm like, you want to be a fucking park ranger?
Cats didn't know what they was doing. They just like, man.
Right, just picking something.
Or criminal justice. Or criminal justice, yeah. So I hated when people do criminal justice. I was like, you don't even have to come here. You just go be a cop.
Right.
Now. Get your 20 years in. Retire at 42. You're out of here.
That was whack. But it's honestly, it's not to discredit the athlete. It's really the advisors. Because they know, like, they're just trying to put guys in bullshit classes.
So they can graduate. First off, so they can be eligible. No,
It's their misguidance. And, you know, just like you said, you didn't even know what a major was.
I had no idea.
Right? So just think about,
like, my mom or dad didn't go to college. They were like,
yeah,
but they said you have to go to college. Right. I'm like, I don't know what this
if you
means.
Want to be successful. But so getting to college,
like, think about how successful I am. Athletes would probably be in a better situation if the academic advisor pushed them just a little bit more.
Right.
To go into business, man, like business,
or majors that mattered.
Yeah, like RPTM. Like, what are you gonna do with an RPTM?
Be an engineer.
But it sounds like he had
be a lawyer. Like,
he had a hands-on father there.
And you land here, you're going to land with something.
Having that hands-on father is a big deal, too, though.
Well, yeah. I want to do engineering because I like math. And my cousin on my mother's side, she was an engineer. And she drove this, like, sweet Beamer.
See?
And I was like, dude,
hey,
that's what I want to do.
Okay.
Right here.
That visual.
My visual. Yeah.
She works at Procter & Gamble now in Cincinnati. And makes a shit ton of money.
Right.
So what transitioned you from engineer to finance to even to where you're at now? Like, how
they told me I couldn't do it. They were like, yeah, you can't. My backup was business. So my dad started his own business.
I mean, from
He has his own business to this day. He has a
disrespectful
a production company.
Trying to kill this fly, but go ahead.
I know, you good. And so business, and my dad made a pretty good living for himself.
Mm.
And so that was the backup plan, was if
took over Biggie's business,
I would have done business. So I did business.
Okay.
And finance was, I was talking to another Penn State guy about this yesterday at the golf course, was at Penn State, you got to have a certain, once you declare you're in the business school, you got to have a certain GPA to get into finance, accounting, MIS, whatever.
Oh, so they make it a requirement.
Yeah. So you got to have a certain GPA after your sophomore year to get into one of those schools. And so in order to get into finance, you got to have a 3.5, which is like,
but that's impossible. Dope, though. Make sure they're serious. Like, oh, Like, so, you can't just have a major just to have a major.
Yeah. And so I chose finance because it was the highest, and I was like, I'm a goal type dude. So I was like, that'll be my goal, is get a 3.5 after sophomore year, and I ended up getting it.
How did you manage, like, practices, 6 a.m. workouts, spring ball, like, all? Because, I mean, I know what goes into that, because they said up at Penn State, they said there's a difference between lifting and working out. They said they had dudes in, like, spring ball, like, right before it, crawling to, like, different places. Like, they were that spent, like, from doing, like, crazy squats. Yeah. And they said boys' legs was just giving out. Arms was just giving out.
Yeah, it sucked, bro.
Yeah, they said the workouts was crazy up there. So, but how did you manage, like that time? Because, like, when you wake up in the morning, it's go.
Yeah, it's just, you know, really, just time management and just kind of, like, figuring out,
and the,
like,
study,
what works for you, right? So, like, I guess they call it hacks now, as my little brother and my kids say. Just, like, figuring out, like, I'm always, like, figuring out just, like, not shortcuts, but figuring out how to be efficient, mm-hmm. right?
Process.
So at Penn State, what I figured out is, like, all right, they give us these classes, right? But at the football building, which we, at freshman year, you got to take study hall.
Yeah.
Every night. So, like, like you're saying, it was training table from 7 to 9:30, 9:30 to 2:45 classes.
And then you go
2:45 film. Is film. So 2:45 to 6, you're in the building.
Right.
Film to practice.
And then you practice and then you lift.
That's an hour for training. I mean, hour for dinner. And then from 7 to 9:30, you're at study hall.
Yeah.
And so in study hall, and that's all for all freshmen. And if your grades sucked, then you had to, like, you'll be a sophomore in study hall. So I'm like, mm-hmm. oh, you whack, then you can't get your grades up, right? And so freshman year taught me, like, all right, whatever class you had and you were struggling with, they would get you your own personal tutor. So I was like, okay. So I had a tutor for every class.
Usually
that tutor was like a student mm-hmm. that just took that class or was just, like, really smart.
So they know.
So they knew everything.
Everything, right.
And they was getting paid probably, you know what I mean?
They were there freely. And they, like, a lot of Penn State is a cult. So, like, it was.
Yes, weird. It is.
So, like, they were like, I'm a tutor for the football players. So, like,
invested.
So I would get a tutor for every class.
I made that kid be eligible.
Exactly. I did this.
And I became cool with all the tutors. The tutors, like, they would help me and, like, give me the – everybody cheating in college. You would be surprised, like, all the frat kids.
First off, was you in Indigo, though?
No.
You ain't mess with Indigo? Man, Indigo was fire when I went up there. I went up there, like, 3 times.
What are you talking about?
Like,
talking
the bar? Honestly.
It's what? It wasn't a gay bar when I was going there. Hell no.
There was
Crackers in there twerking.
No, there was a bunch.
Oh, my God. What's something about this? I like this vibe.
I like this vibe, man. Everybody nice as hell.
Everybody smell good as hell. Like, what's up with you, my guy?
What was the other one? There's Indigo, and then there's
The Den.
The Den is where all the black people go.
Yeah.
So we went to Indigo first, and then we went to the Den.
So there was, like, 16 people in there?
No, it was,
still Penn State.
It was a sweaty mess, and it was a good time.
It was like a sweat box in the Den. I hate about it in the Den.
But then was live, though.
So tell the people exactly what you do now.
So I'm a financial planner. So I work with individuals, families, to help them become financially secure, and whatever that means in their mind. So just
what does that mean in your mind?
For me, it's just making sure that you're financially stable. Like, you're setting your goals as far as what you want to do.
You help them budget or
everything,
insurance
from
or
budgeting
whatever?
To insurance to everything, mortgages, banking. I can get as deep and detailed as you want, you know?
Let's get detailed.
Oh, yeah, we can get busy.
Because
literally, like, bro, like, we talk about some goddamn portfolios. The only portfolio I ever had was my senior year in high school.
That's what I'm saying.
You know what I'm saying? I have no idea about a portfolio.
I had a trapper keeper once.
About ETFs and mutual bonds and
Right, we see all the IG videos on what you should be doing and invest in this or do this. Or open. I'm like, I have no idea what they're talking about.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess it would all have to, like, I guess my stories. So, like, I grew up poor. I grew up in the trailer parks. And my mom, my uncle, my
hilarious.
Sister. Yeah, the trailer park. next to a hall.
Gotcha. Hulk, white man. Privilege.
And so I grew up there, and like I said, in Robinsonville. So the town I came from is like, it had 2 stoplights. So it's small town, like everybody know everybody.
Your dad was trapping out the trailer park.
Yeah, so yeah, my dad was not there. So my dad, my mom, my dad met. My dad's family is like from like 20, maybe 15 miles east of where my mom grew up. They met. My dad was in high school. My mom was older. But my dad had me or conceived me when he was 17. And so once he graduated, like I said, he was pretty good at basketball, but he ended up having me, and so he had to get health insurance.
So you ruined his dream.
I ruined it, yeah.
Right. That's why he wanted to go to Penn State.
Yeah, little did I know.
Because that's where he wanted to go.
And my dad, yeah, probably. But he wanted to ECU. He wanted to go to ECU, but he had to.
East Carolina?
Someone wanted to go there before?
Yeah.
The Pirates?
Yeah, my dad. I think he had like an offer or something. I don't know. He would have to tell that hoops. Story. But yeah, so Pops had me, you know, did the typical thing. I shouldn't say typical, but us African Americans only know how to do make fast money, right? He's a seller.
Can't relate.
His best friend was a big time drug dealer. That dude.
It was Biggie Smalls, bro. B.I.G.
I wish it was.
Do you remember B.I.G.'s documentary when he left New York to go to North Carolina?
Maybe.
I'm telling you.
It might be. But so dad did that, got out of that. His boy ended up getting caught. Literally, he tells a story as he was on his way to re-up or something, and the cops like bust down the door like right before he got there. You know, so he throws the drugs down the sewer. He goes into
there's a sewer
the
in
army.
A trailer park.
No, so my dad didn't live in trailer. Just my mom lived in a trailer park. My uncle, and so goes in the Air Force. He lies about being arrested, and. Gets discharged from the Air Force, ends up going to American Express, working there. But again, he a hustler, so he starts doing these, he starts promoting, right? So promoting local artists, local comedians, and he gets stood up. I think he was bringing, I think Bill Bellamy, some comedian. Mm. He gets stood up.
He said,
loses all his money. It's like $5,000 at a time.
And, it's a lot of money.
And the guy that represents the comedian ends up being this guy named Leo Cohen. I don't know if you guys know.
Yeah.
But back in the
he's
day,
he's a big
so,
guy.
Yeah, so
big ass white dude.
Yeah,
yeah.
So in response to the guy standing my dad up, Lior gives him like a date on one of these Zima. I don't know if you guys remember Zima.
Oh beer, man,
the clear beer. So he does a date for, I think Bill.
That was the original White Claw.
Yeah, Bill Bellamy and some other comedians, and that was his break. And so, long story short, he does this promotions and he creates this show, this comedy show with. D.L. Hughley, Bernie Mac, Taylor, and Steve Harvey.
The Kings of Comedy.
Kings of Comedy.
And so
he was on the Kings of Comedy tour. He was a promoter for that.
He made that movie.
Get out of here.
And so he's
your dad made that.
Toured it. Yeah, you can look it up now. Look it up and see who made it. So he did that tour 2 years in a row, and he had this idea of bringing it to a big screen, and nobody believed in it. And
who promoted it? He produced it?
He financed the whole thing. It cost $3 million to make.
Your dad had, he lost 5 G's off.
That's why he's good with his financing stuff.
Okay, Walt. All right. Look just like you. That's hilarious.
So he did all that.
That's your pops?
That's my dad.
He looked like money. Okay.
Oh, man. Look at him. He doing some shading? What's he doing?
So how old were you, Kings of Comedy?
He was 27 when he made it.
27, so you were 10.
That's insane.
9. Okay.
So I literally saw us. You know, my pops, we had a Suzuki.
Shit the sugar.
Suzuki, and I saw him, like, buy a Ferrari in cash after he made that movie.
Like, God dang.
Just because the white dude, no offense, was, like, disrespecting him.
No offense. What's that supposed to mean?
He was disrespecting him in the showroom floor. We went there. He went to go, like, get some, like, he had some, like, he had a bent rim or something. And the dude won't come talk to us. And so... finally came over. He was like, "I want to buy it. I'm going to buy this car." Bought it.
Just a stunt on him.
Yeah.
It now makes sense to me because when I was listening, you talk about Penn State and you were talking about the different hacks and the different mindsets that you have. I'm like, how did he have that?
Yeah, you know, saw it,
fresh
man.
18.
Yeah, but people,
you know what I'm saying?
Like people just
he saw small it growing
town,
up.
Tired, like we're right now. Like we don't have that. Like
a lot of people in big cities.
All we see is like, oh,
he was exposed.
Like you work at the mill or you do this and that. Like we don't know that there's a different avenue.
Yeah, man. And like I said, like my dad, like he slept. My dad, he had a rough life coming up. You know, single parent. You know, my grandma raised him and my aunt. He slept on a cot all his life, mm-hmm. right? And like a two, he grew up in Brooklyn, right? So Flatbush Avenue. So he slept on a cot.
Flatbush.
And so he didn't really, he didn't see it, but like I said, my dad's super creative. He's he was an artist. He went to like an arts and design school in high school, and so he's just always like creative.
He was 6'5".
He's a risk taker. So like, I would see him go to a casino and like drop like $300,000 on blackjack. Which what? I would never do.
Yeah, that's ballsy.
But that's like, you got to have that type of risk in order to get that reward. Right. But and so I saw him, you know.
That sounds insane.
Let's talk about the goddamn risk thing with this money, man. Yeah. If I got $1,000, bro, what do I got to do with it? Hey, that's what I want to know. Put money on the table.
Right now.
What do we do with right this now. Money? How do we, like.
It just depends on, like I said, when people ask me about investing, right? First off, the first question should be, what are my goals?
Well, what's my return on investment is what I want to know.
No, it's what are you trying to accomplish, though? Right? Because if you're trying to accomplish, if you're trying to buy a house within the next year or so, you don't want to invest your money right now. Because if you were to invest your money, you're not buying a house.
So investing and saving is two different things, correct?
It's two different things, right? And before you even talk about investing anything, you have to have what's called an emergency fund. Before you do any type of investing, and what an emergency fund is,
it's
basically having
3 to 6 months of your fixed expenses in cash in an account somewhere. If you don't have that, you don't even need to be thinking about investing anything, right? And what that does is...
You still work out?
Yeah, I still work out.
I'm about to say, because we're about to fight, because you just...
That's the truth.
Add me next time, bro. I'm broke.
If you want to... I mean, that's really the truth, because like... Things come up, right?
So how do you go about?
And when I say fixed expenses, is your mortgage or your rent payments or mortgage payments, your car, anything.
I'm glad he said exactly. I know what he meant by fixed expenses.
Yeah. Anything that you have to pay on a month-to-month basis.
Your bills, basically.
You need to have 3 to 6 months of that because you're working now. What if that job lays you off?
Okay.
Right. What if COVID happens again? And you know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
And so if you're investing your money in the market and you get fired and now you got to take your money out now, right. If you put your money in 2020 and you got all your money invested and you get fired yesterday, you got to take money out of your stock. You're going to lose bad. Right. So right now,
but it's like, how do you even go about saving? I feel like saving money is like an alcoholic or
you think about it as an
alcoholic trying to quit. No, I'm serious. I think it's like an alcoholic trying to quit.
What's up, man?
They can't quit.
Why are you looking at me when you say this?
Because they can't. Like, listen, they can't quit.
He's throwing shots now. You throwing shots.
Relax, man. But what I'm trying to say is they can't quit until they're ready to quit, no matter how many times. I feel like the same way with savings. Like, you have to mentally be ready. I'll talk about savings.
Okay.
All the time.
It's all about conditioning, man. But here's the thing. It's all about looking at it from a different perspective. Just like this stock market is down right now. I reference us as the black community because we're so fucked up.
Out of the table.
Because wealthy people right now are licking their chops.
Right, ready to go.
They're like, dude, it's 20-30% off. Why wouldn't I get into that right now? I'm not going to buy when they're freaking at all-time highs. That's when people want to get into the market when it's doing good. Like, no. You want to get into the market when you see a bunch of red.
Right, right.
Right, because it's off. But our minds are so conditioned because we just don't know. So, like, saving, right? And I've learned because I'm cheap. I'm really cheap. And I think that's why I'm good at my job. But whenever you think about saving, you got to think about, like, you paying fucking Penn Power. You're paying whatever bank or institution you're using to finance your car, right? And they're making money off that. Why don't you pay yourself?
But when you're saying that, how am I going about doing that? Am I setting up accounts? Am I stashing the money away?
You set up a so I use a thing called Acorns, right? So Acorns is
Acorns.
It's automatic, too, or like I said, and that money invests that money into the market, which you're catching the ebbs and flows. But before that, you need that emergency fund. So just like you do your automatic payment to pay your bills, put in an automatic deposit to pay your savings account.
Okay, so I don't want to dive too deep into your funds, but like, Is there a percentage that you're putting into these certain kind of things?
Obviously, you want all your bills paid first, right?
Yeah, after your bills are paid, like what percentage are you paying yourself?
So, I mean, it just all depends, man. Honestly, it just depends on what you have that's remaining, right? So for me, that number always changes, right? So every week when I get paid, I do this every week just to stay on point. But you got to think about it like instead of me buying weed every week, the money I would put in the weed, I just put in my savings account, or I put into that Acorns account, right?
Okay.
And so, I mean, if you want to get real detailed and granular, I mean, detailed about it, the percentage.
I mean, I want to.
I mean,
I listen.
Rule of thumb is almost 10%, right? Which is, I feel like, is a good number to be around, right? 10% of whatever your paycheck is every month. Or every 2 weeks.
10% of it, your paycheck.
Whenever you just put it in the savings, right? But once you get to that emergency fund, right? So once you get that 3 to 6 months of living expenses in your savings account, that same money that you were saving, now that money goes into an index fund, right? And when you start saving, I won't get too technical about it. I would either use Acorns, right? That uses it basically gauges your risk tolerance. Right, because your risk tolerance. A lot of people
doesn't it like whenever you every time you use like your car or whatever it winds it up whatever.
Yeah, it's like around
$5, whatever it's at. And then you get
a round up. It's lovely.
And then every week, I take out it says $20 like every week.
But see, we'll even go there. My Acorns account, I had like $1,500 in it.
I went to
go buy the house and I took it all out. I'm saying, is that a good reason to take it out? Like, should I have just...
Was that a goal?
$1,500 for a house?
No, I mean, the down payment.
Was you in the shelter part two?
A part of it. I needed the extra bread for it. You know what I'm saying? For the down payment.
What was you going to get? You had it, right? Huh? You were disciplined enough to put that money aside.
He won the flat screen.
Yeah, yo. See, and so avoid
immediate gratification for something in the future. That's really what it is, right?
Right.
Saving is avoid or not getting...
Not looking at it.
Not getting instant gratification... Of bond for me,
waking up and being old, right? And all so
that's
money.
That's my vice, right? And so instead of doing that, I'm putting that money, whatever goals that I may have or what I want to accomplish, I'm giving that up instantly for our future.
Didn't you say your dad bought a Ferrari cash money?
Right. You did,
right. My guy, and you over here trying to save,
bro. Mom, dad,
if you don't splurge,
my dad didn't give me anything.
It's not the point, though. You saw your daddy do it. So you know what I saw my daddy do?
What does that mean?
Die. You know what I mean? I was like,
I think that means a lot, though.
No, it means everything.
Big deal. I mean, it definitely gave you a little bit more hunger, I feel like.
But I haven't managed any of my dad's money. He wouldn't give me a shot. He still hasn't given me a shot, which is crazy. But
old man stuck in his own ways. He's like, man, I'm good over here. This has been working for millions of years right now. Let me go ahead and stay here.
But it pushed me and pushed me to get to where I'm at today. You know what I'm saying? I didn't get a lot of people, especially when I was at Merrill Lynch and kind of coming up through the ranks.
You went to Merrill Lynch?
That was my second job.
How'd that make you feel?
It sucked, bro.
That last name.
It sucked to... That's funny.
And went to Penn State.
To see other people that you're better than get stuff handed to them. But in saying all of that, I understand why God did that, because I'm 20 times better than that other advisor because it pushed me. And I know things and I know the hustle that he didn't go through, that I went through, has me talking to you guys right now, mm-hmm. right? The life situations and, the things that I've had to endure to get to this point has made me 20 times a better advisor. Because the stuff that I'm telling you that I did, that I'm telling people to do, like I did it myself, right? Like I started in this business when I was 22 years old. Why nobody giving me no money? I actually had an advisor pull me to the side and tell me, he was like, dude, you're going to be great, but you probably don't want to live in Pittsburgh because you're black. And
what?
Yeah, he was like, it's a racist town. Nobody's going to give you.
You went to Penn State, so how many times did they call you in word up there? You was on a football team. A
couple times.
Yeah, but I'm saying, imagine being a regular student. I knew a couple people went up there. They used to walk by fraternity houses, and they would just scream out the windows. That's crazy.
That's crazy, because it's not like this down south. Like, in North Carolina, It's different up here.
So what you said, so we got the money that we save, the fixed money that we save.
I want to know specifically.
Don't skip over the first step, because I think the first step is the most important.
It's the first step.
What is your goal? Like, what do you want?
Okay.
You
know what I'm saying? You got to have a goal.
Let's be more specific about a goal because people don't think like that.
Make a goal. So say this.
A goal, your first goal should be, like you said.
I want a retirement.
No, your first goal should be to have that money in your emergency fund.
See, I couldn't do that. In my situation, I was at a job that left me after my bills with nothing. So for me, I took 10 to 20% before I even paid bills, because I knew I'm already checked. I'm choosing between which bills is most important at that time. So I'm taking 20% before I even pay my bills. That way, I'm able to invest in myself. It wasn't so much about the stock market. It was more or less about growing this.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, that was your goal.
I couldn't do it. Right. So I couldn't focus on emergency first. And I feel like a lot of people can. I'm now in a position where I can. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, but to be more specific, let's be specific about like what you mean about goal. You know what I'm saying? Like if you think about yourself, like, what do you want?
No, listen. Well,
you know what I'm saying?
Okay, like, we're in our 30s right now. So let's. I must be specific. Retirement. What should I do if I want to retire comfortably? Like, what should I invest in? Should I go into a Roth IRA? Like
the question should be, what type of lifestyle you want to live in retirement?
I just want to pay my bills and live comfortably.
How much are those bills?
What does that look like?
And drink a beer on my back porch.
What is that yearly expense cost for you to retire?
Are you going to have a mortgage? Right? Yeah. Do you want to take vacations? Do you have kids that, you know, hopefully in retirement, you're not providing for any kids, but it has to be a dollar amount. Like, all right, I need $5,000
every month
for me to live comfortably in retirement. That pays my mortgage or rent or whatever. That covers me from food. Hopefully you don't have a car payment by then. You might, right? So, and then, you know, that extra money is discretionary. So I got $1,000 or whatever that number may be, but you got to figure out what that number is and you got to figure, all right.
So what would you invest in?
So $5,000.
$60,000 a year.
That's $60,000 a year. When are you going to retire? Let's say you retire at 65, right? So you got from 65, you're probably going, I don't know when you're going to die, but right.
Hopefully tomorrow.
Your life expectancy is 90. What is that?
What?
That's what
90?
25 years.
Oh, I told you I was going to beat y'all up.
How long do you expect to live?
He doesn't expect to live till tomorrow.
If I live 10 more years, I'm going to be pissed.
Let's assume. So we're talking 60, 90, 25 years roughly.
All right. So whatever that number is, right? Once you get that nugget and that number, now you got to backtrack, right? So now you got to say, all right, I need $1 million. Let's say I need $1 million by the time I'm 65, right? And so that means you have to, you know, save that money. But then you
Got $1 million? I mean, not you, because
a lot of people that retire from the job that I'm at, they got from in their 401ks and stuff like that. They're walking out of there with over $1 million.
$1 million?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh man, point them out, bro. I got a gun,
dude. There are a lot of people that
that
have more than $1 million that you would never know. Because in your 401k, if you're working at a job for 20, 25 years, and you're putting a good amount of your paycheck. Clack.
Let's go.
Into, you know, like your 401k, you're not only putting your contribution in, but your employer is matching your contribution.
Yeah.
Up to a certain amount.
That's what's crazy. Like 10%. I've never had a job where they match me. They give me like a small percentage. Like, I just had to pull out of my 401k because, full disclosure, I got laid off in March.
Yeah.
So I had to pull out.
So you would be a good example of that emergency fund, right?
So now I had to pay my bills until about September. Just now. You know what I mean? Now I'm sitting there thinking like, damn, what the fuck am I about to do? Like, I'm applying for all these jobs. Ain't nothing coming through. It's some bullshit. What am I going to do? That's why I got him on here. I'm like.
I mean, and that's the reason why I always advocate to people to at least the start is to have that emergency fund. Because if you have that and you get laid off, you're like, oh, shit, I'm good. That's going to take me. It's going to give me 3 to 6 months to find a new job. Right. And I don't even have to touch my investments. Shit, so when the market's down 30% right now. I don't have to take my money out when it's down 30%.
Because
the worst thing to do in the market is to take your money out when it's down.
Right.
If I don't.
I'm holding on strong with this crypto.
If I don't teach anybody anything on this thing, is do not sell right now. When your money's down, do not sell, because One, you're never gonna invest.
See, I got that.
I think about Ayo.
Two, I have an account with Heffern.
You said one, you're not gonna what?
You're never gonna invest again.
Yep, you'll be scared from here.
They give me my statements, and my shit is just negative, negative.
So I've been thinking about getting out for the past like 2 months, dog.
Just ignore it.
Well, crypto, I don't know, because I think crypto. I mean, if you're in the Bitcoin or Ethereum, I think those will come back. But some of those companies, they might not come back.
I think some of them
are
going
to die. A bunch of them is going to die. Let me debunk this myth right now. When the market crashes, I got to tell you something like that. When it crashes, it doesn't mean that you lost all your money.
It means, reinvest.
You lose all your money when you sell, right? Yeah. So people have this connotation that, oh, if the market crash, I'm going to lose all my money. No.
That's what it looks like when I look on my phone and I see it in negative.
Yeah,
the value of your investment is not.
If you sell, you lose a lot of it that you put into it, but you only lose all your money is if that company that you're invested in goes out of business.
Yeah.
Like an Enron. I don't know if you guys ever heard of Enron.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember Enron, they were doing corrupt stuff, right?
Right.
So if you had your money in Enron, you were fucked, right? Because they were lying. Right?
Yeah,
and then they went out of business. Yeah, so any money that you had invested in, they went bankrupt, right? But if you have your money in an Apple, you know, Google, you know, in Tesla, like those companies aren't going out of business. They got a shit ton of money, right? It's just that they're in a bad session right now. They're in a bad season.
They're on sale. They're on sale,
and they're going to eventually. They're going to come back up, right? Once we get through, you know, a lot of this other, you know, the other variables that the economy is going through, but. If you're in high quality companies like that, what you need to be doing is put more. If you have more, put more money into it right now, right? Because you're getting it at a lower price.
So, is stocks like what you recommend someone to go into as far as investing?
No, like at first, I say if you're just starting to invest, buy the SPY, right? Which is
to write this down.
Which is the S&P 500, right?
Yeah.
You're getting basically all 500 of the best domestic companies in the U.S., right? So you're getting, you know, your money, you know, spread out amongst the 500 best companies domestically, right? And then the triple Q, which is Invesco QQQ, if you watch CNBC, you know, the commercial. But those are basically the 100 top tech companies that are domestic as well. And so I would say go 50-50 between those two, and you'll have a good barometer, a good kind of, how can I say it? You'll have a good spread of good companies, and you're going to have a broad market. Like, if you go into, like, individual, now, eventually you want to get into individual companies, right? Okay. That should be the goal. But when you're starting out, because you have such little funds, you can't really buy, like, when Amazon was at $2,000, like some people,
it's like, damn, I can't even get a share.
You can't even get a share, right? Yeah. But if you buy the S&P 500, you're not only getting Amazon, but you're getting Apple, Google. You're getting a bunch of it. So you're sharing kind of that wealth
The chances of you losing thinner, money but it goes are very slim.
Right. Yeah. And it's automatically diversifying, right? So a lot of people talk about diversity, right? Or diversifying your assets. And that's what those index funds do, right? They diversify the money that you have amongst a bunch of different companies instead of staying, you know, not stagnant, but staying into one and basically betting all, right? Because even though Apple is a great company, if you put all your money in Apple, Google might do better than Apple 1 year.
Right? Or take it over.
Right? Or Tesla. Like Tesla, took off. I couldn't have told you, you know, I'd love Tesla just for, and somebody taught me
this when
I
first,
that too, but somebody taught me when I was starting this business is that you don't invest in the company. You invest in the people that are running the company.
The leader. I heard this from him.
The leader. So, like, dude is a genius.
Can we invest in Murdy?
Right? So, like,
yes.
You invest, right. Even like startups, they don't, the product may be good, but if the person that's running the company isn't that dude, it don't matter what product they have. There's a bunch of people that thought of Facebook before Mark Zuckerberg.
And, like, think about it. Like,
didn't want to get bitches?
And think about the place that you work at. Like, the place that you work at, you could tell, like, there's a lot. Either you're complaining about what leadership's doing, or you're like, man, they're on point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, pay attention to these companies in the same way. Go look at those interviews. You know what I'm saying? I believe in Elon. I don't care what happens on the stock market today. I believe in that guy.
I believe in him because he brought his hairline back, and I need to get my hairline back, so I'm invested.
Okay, so back to the goal. If someone's trying to get $60,000 a year, by the time they graduate, of course, get the emergency fund so that they could be good for 7 months, if six months if something happens.
Yep. So are you saying save it? Just put it to the side.
Cash. It should be literally liquid. Right, so like,
so put it in the safe.
You don't have
mattress.
I don't know, put
curtains.
It, put it in your PNC money market. You know, whatever bank you use, they should have like a, it's called a money market, right? You want to put it, you know, those long term savings in something that, I mean, you're not getting any.
That's
yield.
A 5 year deal, though, right?
What?
The money markets.
When you no, put it, in the- it depends. It depends. There are different types of money markets, but really, the money market is a savings account, right? So you want to get at least try to get the highest savings.
But that's
yield.
A low percentage.
You're not getting anything, right? Yeah. But when you need your money, you can get it out, and you're typically going to have the money that you put in there.
And you're not penalized.
You're not penalized.
Right, like when I took my 401k out of this, it was like okay. I was like, I need 10K. They was like, well, we're gonna, here goes 12, and then we'll tax this, and boop, boop. And I'm like, there goes 10.
Because they take
like,
that money out pre-tax out of your paycheck.
It was crazy. It was crazy when I seen the statement.
And
I
then
was
you
like,
get
what
hit with a 10% penalty.
I lost like $3,000. I was like, God damn.
Yeah, I've had to do that a couple times.
So what are some other strategies to reaching that 60K a year point? Because I know the goal is either to try to save up 60 a year or to generate passive income that brings you in 60 a year. Mm-hmm. But it's like, what are some strategies other than, I mean, I guess the stock market is pretty much it, other than passive income. Like, no, what other things can you invest in?
There are other things. I think real estate, right? Outside of, I think, investing. So, like, the stock people, you know, you have people that either are, like, all in stock market,
right.
All in insurance, all in real estate.
Whatever their baby is, you
right?
know what I mean?
Whatever they know, whatever they made their money in, they're going to be all in because that's how they made their money.
Right.
I'm from the standpoint where, you know, I learned, you know, the way that I, you know, when I got my CFP, it taught me just a bunch of different things.
What's
and a CFP is basically equivalent to a certified financial planner. And it's basically like having a master's in financial planning. Right?
Okay.
So it's like a CPA. Right?
Okay, CPA.
The CPA was probably knocked me for that. But I think it's equivalent to having a CPA. I know a lot about you know, retirement planning, estate planning. Financial, and what's the last one? I didn't forget. Tax, insurance, retirement, estate, and obviously investment.
But
so basically, you cover all those things. So to answer your question is, you want to have your stocks, and the reason I like, you know, stocks or people like stocks is because you can get that money out, right? Even if it's down, you can go on your Fidelity account, go on your Acorns, you can go and sell. And normally 3 days later, you can usually pull those funds out and have that in cash. Real estate.
I bought his TV.
You try to sell real estate, unless you get a cash deal.
Right.
It's going to be time.
It's going to take 30 to 60 days to pull that money out. But I would say real estate is also a way to get there to that number that you're talking about, because it does have that passive income type of strategy, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I have a lot of clients that own rental properties.
But that's a lot of hassle. Just
it is. It's not. It's not as
people dealing with people. It's a problem.
Yeah, it's not as easy as what people, you know.
Yeah, I don't
say it is.
I don't think anything.
I learned that from KP because I was like, he had everything lined up, and it was like every month he was like, man, I'm not going to
see
these people.
The only way I'd go about it is if I was going into it.
You got to go have a property
management
company.
Yeah, I couldn't. I couldn't deal.
But the goal here is how can I either generate? Well, I guess that could get
you
to that.
You could, if you're flipping the houses, you can get there that same kind of way. I mean, it's just a little bit.
You just got to do the work.
A little riskier. And you want to have a process, right?
Now, is it riskier doing it that way?
Yeah, because you could flip a house and then be sitting on it. All right, and all your money's tied up in that house, unless somebody
right, and
sells.
If nobody's buying it, then
nobody's
what are you doing?
And all your money's tied up.
Parcel that you're paying taxes
right.
In that house, right? But I would say that it is very lucrative, right, if you do flip it. But I say the people that I've seen do really well on flipping houses is that they control the labor, right?
Because
most of the time, not. If you're not doing like the hands-on labor, like Wells, Wells, he does well because he can do shit himself. He doesn't have to pay contractors.
So pretty much know a couple fiends.
Yeah. Either know a couple or know people that you trust that aren't going to knock you upside the head.
Yeah.
Right? Because in flipping, it's all about your profit margin.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's all about figuring out, all right, what's the right profit margin? Right? You don't want to put, you know, so much into the house that when you sell, you're not really making
right.
See, money. The easiest thing to me when it comes to house is like the teardown. Okay, I know what I want this to look like. Let me tear down this wall, take it all out, whatever, throw it out. You can do that Anybody could do that. I don't know how to put up drywall or insulation and do all this.
YouTube.
That's what I mean, I'm saying. He YouTube the whole house. And then, then that's when you go get the contractor that you know and trust. Right. And then you do your percentage-wise. Like, hey, when this gets completed, you get this money. When this gets completed, you get this money. Boom, boom, boom. And we'll go through it like that.
Right.
But it's just that that I'm initial
just
money.
About just investing.
So I mean, like,
in general.
Like, it's just the initial money. How you like that's my whole problem is getting saving up that amount of money to then be able to make a move to get into real estate.
Listen, long story short, sell drugs. Like, what we doing?
That'll work too.
America is nothing but a big ass Percocet.
I think like how he said after the emergency fund, knowing what your goal is. Once you establish that your goal is to get into real estate, and you know, like, say if you say, all right, I'm gonna go to an auction, I'm gonna go that route. And most auctions, you're going to get some.
You never know about foundation or anything like that.
Truth.
It's a risk.
True, but just say you know most of those in Beaver County are going from under 10K.
That's why you get somebody.
Your goal should be to stack up 10K. However, you got to stack up that 10K. You know what I mean? Of course, emergency fund first. But now you can't touch that until, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I that's why goals are important. Like, what do you want? You know what I mean? This step is still. My first step is to get less than 10K so I can get to the auction.
So I gotta
the
work on
that.
The
most important, and just to counter, I mean, to piggyback off that, like, we say, like I have all, like, which is, I got kind of got OCD, but, like, I got all my goals from, like, my senior year of high school.
Still.
Like, I write them down.
You ain't fucking no fat
like,
chicks?
Have your, no. Like, visualizing, right? Right, so a lot of people say, like, all right, I got this goal to do X, Y, Z, but when you actually, like, write it down, and, like, you see, like, all right.
Like a goal board?
Yeah, like, put like I got on my board, like, I want to have, you know, $50 million of assets under management by December 31st. Like, all right, like, I'm not far away from it, but it's hard to get, you know, $50 million of other people's money.
That's not even a, all right? That's something I hear about, like, from NBA players. Like, yeah. That's not, like, a real thing to me.
It's real to me.
Yeah, to so you, that's crazy to me. Cause like,
but that's what we said. But another goal of mine was to, like, I didn't have a, you know, I never told Wells this, but, like, when I was.
I mean, you brought his name up twice.
That's my dude. I looked up to Wells. Wells, that's my guy.
Why is that so far apart?
He's a good dude, and he's, you know how Wells is. Like, yeah. He's motivated me.
He's really not.
More ways than he probably even knows, but. When I had three kids at 26, right? So, like, emergency fund, all this shit I'm talking about, like, I couldn't even do it, right? And so that's why when I tell you, like, a lot of stuff that I'm telling people and advising people on, like, I had to do it myself because I was kind of out here like a fraud almost, right? I'm telling people what to do, but behind closed doors, like, my own personal shit was, like, all messed up, right? Because, you know, I had three kids at 26. I'm trying to grow a business.
How do you know?
I'm 33 now.
He's only 33.
Yeah. And so I was living paycheck to paycheck. I had to take money out of my like 401k to like pay my credit card bill off, right? And take that penalty and do all the shit just to keep the lights on.
Yeah, but you thought that was something to do. I wouldn't even think about that.
No, he's saying he was in that situation.
I was in dire situations, right?
Okay, yeah.
Because just the I put myself in, but I had to climb out of that hole. So, like, I remember when you know, Wells bought his crib, I was like, fuck, dude, I don't even got my own crib. But I'm helping to advise all these other people on stuff like that, right?
How
so,
did
like,
he know Wells that I didn't know
my,
him?
One of my goals was, like, I got to buy a house, right? Like, I seen my boy, and I saw, like, I've known Wells for, like, 10 years now. But, like, he was, like, one of my motivations. When he first bought his crib, I was like, damn, I was paying somebody rent, which rent is like, I was paying rent for 10 years. Just imagine, it's like lit. Paying somebody.
How much a month?
Like $2,000 a month.
Dang,
what? Where was you at?
You're the math guy. What's
you
that?
24,000
a year?
24,000
times
10. Cranberry?
$240,000.
Think about that, bro.
Bro, if somebody owed me $2,000 right now, they get shot.
And see, bro, if you decided to rent instead of flip that, that's your $240,000.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so okay. And so, like,
you can still rent
a good job,
with the,
if you could do,
the
you
whole
do it.
Idea. You could put people in your house and still want to go sell it.
Flat out.
You know what I mean? Have them, you know, renting until you
yeah, but you gotta get
make that move.
Whatever, this and that. Yep, so other expenses. But yeah, like my goal.
Wells ain't even a good dude, bro.
Why you keep bringing up Wells?
I don't think he understands how this is connected. So you, right, no, you and Derek played together. That's how you met Wells. Me, you met through Wells.
Which bothers me because Wells is at my crib.
Yeah, but you don't know.
You always want to joke.
Listen, me and Wells is kicking it all the time. I remember this buffer didn't shit for 3 days, and I was like, yo, drink this 40. And then he took a shit. And I was like, you ain't even going to go to the doctor. Bet that up.
And he won't even give you no advice. That's crazy. You know what I'm
saying? He's like, no, I got a family now. I can't bang with Joe. I'm like, I remember listening to Jay-Z, and we drove up to Hookstown smoking weed. This is some bullshit. Now all of a sudden, I'm a pariah. Ain't this some bullshit? Like,
he can't help himself.
That's personal.
We were supposed to drop an LLC together. Wells job. LLC.
It's over after he seen you fall.
right. Now it's over now, but he could have saved me back then. I was like 26.
See, I gotta work on this habitual spending, bruh. I have a problem.
Us.
Literally. I mean, like, all I want to do is spend. It makes me feel good. You know what I mean? It makes me feel good to
buy drinks for somebody.
Buy shoes. I'll have a refrigerator full of food and go out and get some wings for no reason. I'll have chicken wings in the freezer.
Any advice for that impulsive spending? Because I think a lot of people have impulsive spending.
I think you hit the pin out. Like, I feel like sometimes when you go and buy stuff, it's like, you have this innate, like, you feel good.
Feel right. Like you got more than you really got. Like,
yeah, it just feels good, it's right.
A satisfaction. Just having that gratification.
Like, damn, like, did I really need
that? Did I need to spend $60 on a Tuesday at the bar for no reason?
Yeah. And I spent $55 last night.
But I think that goes back to conditioning, right? You got to condition yourself to, like, all right, stay disciplined, right? Before I go outside, let me pay myself first.
That's the problem. Discipline.
And then after I pay myself, that money's gone. And that's what I will always do. Even like at Penn State, we would get bowl checks, right? So we get these checks before when we go on bowl games. And I always do that. Anybody what ever gave fuck? Me
before
money?
Before NIL?
Yeah, they
would okay.
Bowl checks. And
it's deeper than saying
that. Bro, how much was the check?
It depends. So it was cool. So like, it depends on where
I know you have boosters. Crazy out there.
So it
boosters
on where is crazy. You live. So
I know you got paid.
I think, not to get paid.
Depend on where you live, like on campus wise?
Yeah, so no.
Hey, brothers, you been
hold
my
on,
girl,
let brothers? Him tell, let yeah. him tell the story.
So, I need to hear this.
So Joe, I don't, I guess at the time.
Joe.
Out here Joe Pa.
Yeah, looking lost.
Didn't, field. Yeah, Joe's a goat though. Hey, although I think he knew about that stuff.
Bro, I cried when he died.
Yeah.
I grew up in my house. My dad had a Penn State scholarship with a cardboard cutout. We put it right by the door,
yeah,
in case somebody kicked in the crib.
Yeah,
dude right, was super smart.
Joe Pa was gonna be there.
But anyway, so he would basically the bowl game would be the bowl game would be January 1st, and so typically the teams would get out there a week before the bowl game to practice. What Joe would do, we would get out there 2 weeks, right? We would go to like a resort type destination, practice for that week, and then the I guess quote unquote bowl week, we would stay in like the team hotel, whatever. And so what he would do is wherever you lived, they would give you money to get a round trip first class from wherever you live to the bowl site.
What?
Right? So like bowl day, once you found out what bowl we were going to, like niggas was like, all right, like hitting up their mom and say, hey, buy me this trip on Spirit that costs $100 round trip. But they would give you like, if like, I think 1 year my bowl check to like, we went to the Rose Bowl. My check was like $2,600.
What, you got beat round the shit out by from USC?
Greensboro. Yeah, we got beat pretty bad.
Yeah.
From Greensboro to Cali and back.
Mm-hmm.
And so I hit my dad. I was like, hey, buy this ticket. I'll pay you back. And my ticket was like $200.
And then you get the rest of the money.
And then I would just pocket the rest of the money. And so, but whenever that's I would do that, right, I would always, and I still do this to today, I would put like half up, right, under my carpet. That was my savings until I got a real safe. And then I would spend the rest.
Check right? his address.
But I always made sure I like paid myself. Now I paid myself first, right?
Even in college.
Even in college. Mm-hmm. Even in high school. I did it in high school. Because I don't know. I just always had this like, I never want, I don't, like, you ever been broke?
Hell yeah, I grew up broke.
There,
but like, I didn't
look at
have
the table, my guy.
But like, I think
look, this close to
look
the
how broke he is. Like, he got a Hawaiian shirt on right now with a pit hat.
This is Vacation Joe, right?
Nah, bro, I remember being broke. Like, I feel like that does something to you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, were you broke? And like, I remember going
broken,
like stealing. Like,
but see, the difference in what I'm hearing between
kind of
you and myself, because we all grew up poor. I don't know how poor you grew up because you're white. Mm. Black.
Well, I always had a dad, so dad always came through.
He was responsible. He was responsible. Right. He would
come through.
I'm not saying your dad was. But anyways, I feel like what I'm hearing, the difference Gatorades is
in the tub.
I feel like we all know how to survive.
Yeah.
We all know how to go from one struggle to the next struggle and get through it. Mm-hmm. But what I'm hearing is offense. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I didn't have no understanding of offense until like round 2015, 16.
Man, that makes a lot of sense.
You feel what I'm saying?
We've been playing defense our whole life.
Oh, bro, my mom, I wrote this in my book. My mom was great at it. She'd bring us together, tell us what
just
happened.
Just getting a job, just trying to.
And you know what happens once bills got caught up or tax season came around? We kick our feet up and relax. And oh, man, we just came out of a storm.
What about
we go
that?
Shopping. We were relaxed. We didn't know this is the time to make a play.
What about tax season? Like, how should people invest in tax
season? Also, broke don't feel that bad when you broke all the time,
right?
No, because you happy.
It just don't. I mean, like you when you
once
know
you, pay your
you
bills,
just don't
happy
have shit. Like how you just said, you grew up like I think you grew up a little bit different to where you got to see.
I saw the best of both worlds.
You got to see the best. Wow. You got to see the best. So then not having it would then make you feel like holy shit, I got to get myself all the way right to get back to where I need to be at.
Yeah.
Me when I'm down,
not having it ever,
when I'm down
not
here, not having
it
ever.
Was,
exactly.
You're just here.
You got offense and defense. You said in high school you was put.
Well, so I saw my fine. Mom. I mean, just think about it, guys. Like my parents like divorced, and I think they cool now. But like I literally would go.
He said, I think they cool now.
I don't know. I would literally go
I'll
from.
Be checking in.
Living in a mansion to like pantries full. We had a pantry, right?
Yeah, Gushers.
No, to like, I would go to my mom's ice. House. Like, my mom still stays in the same house that I grew up in, right across the street from the projects. And, you know, I would go from there to like summers, vacation, you know, holidays, go stay with my mom. And we didn't have shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she didn't have anything. My mom made like $9 an hour working in like a mill or something like that, you know, or. And so, and my dad wasn't like giver. He would give me money to, you know, while I was on the holiday to make sure we had food. But like my mom ain't have, like she didn't have anything. So I slept on the floor. Even when like I would go from sleeping in my bed, you know, flat screen, whatever, every game system to going to sleep on the floor, which I was fine with because I
wrong.
Actually had, not only that, but like that was the crib. Like that's where I grew up.
Right.
So it was fine. Like I actually had more like, enjoyable moments in Robertsonville.
Good times.
Yeah, because like my dad was like always like constant chaos, right? He was like getting caught cheating and it was fighting and
yeah.
It was a bunch of just like shit where like
that Ferrari.
Kind of like, yeah, it was cool, right? But like having the cookouts and having like, you know, going into projects and getting into some shit. Like I had more fun doing that. Than you know, being in the
spontaneous,
suburbs.
It's like
yeah, that offense. Never,
not
never
only that, but it was authentic, you know. But it also taught me like
yeah, it was happening.
Money
time.
Doesn't like bring you happiness.
Right.
I think that's really the most important thing that taught me. But it also taught me like
it's me
to put because I'm like everybody that lived in Raleigh, they live from paycheck to paycheck, right? So when it's like tax refund, which people don't understand. I hope people know this. When you get a refund, it's your money,
right?
Like, you're not getting free money from the government. This is money that they took out that previous year that they overwithheld.
Then why are they
so
getting
they,
my money?
So they are making money on your money.
All the time.
While
they're investing
it. While they give it back to you.
Right.
Else, yeah.
So that I want people to know that, like, the refund money is not it's not free money. So.
At all. What's the name of your business? Where can people get a hold of you? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so the name of my business is Green Rose Wealth Management.
Okay.
And,
so it's your company?
Yeah, I own it 100%.
Oh, snap.
Black owned.
Black owned. Like, do you have like an actual like
website?
Building?
Website. Yep. Website is
you
green.
You got
Green
IG
Rose. Green Twitter. Rose Wealth. Yeah, I have the IG, but I don't.
Green Rose Wealth.
Green Rose Wealth. So Green Rose comes from Green Street is where I grew up in the trailer park. And Roseville Lane is where I grew up. When I move, when my dad's the suburbs.
Oh, that's dope.
So Green Rose is kind of like a culmination, and we work with a lot of athletes, and you know, I feel like God gave me that name. I'm not really creative at all, but I feel like God gave me that name to kind of tell that story and to share that platform. Because all these athletes, bro, just imagine
who do you work with?
What we're talking
now?
About? I can't tell you, man.
Are you not allowed to tell?
No, but just imagine. We having this conversation, you having these thoughts, and like you about to, I just got off the phone with one of my guys, about to get paid $45 million.
It's thorough.
But just imagine you about to get that money and you're like asking like, dang, like what is an emergency fund? Or, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
But then you're on Instagram and you have all these followers and you're playing football. I don't know if you guys play sports, but when you're playing sports, you're at the, like, you feel like you're fucking Hercules, right? Now you got all this money on top of it and you don't know what to do with it. Like, people are like, oh, I can't believe these athletes go broke.
It's, I hate it when people say easy. I hate it easy, man.
Especially if you don't know, it's not even, if you don't know what to do with it, like,
you spend it all one year, then you're done.
Yeah, yeah.
Just impulsive spending, you just spend more.
Yeah. Right. That's it. And it makes you feel good.
You get one sign-on contract, you get $1 million or $2 million, whatever. Gone. You give all your family,
you know
what
was interesting? So I was with some of my teammates like a month ago back at Penn State. And because I try to get, I tell it to my guys like it is. Like, they, like most of these guys, obviously, out of the guys, like, I've been doing it for 10 years. So I've had like two guys out of 30 that have been like responsible or thought rationally. Majority of the guys, they do what they see. You know, you only know what you know, mm-hmm. right? So like the numbers, they just get bigger, right? So the dinners, instead of being, you know, I used to go to McDonald's and get dollar menu, right? You fucking go to Miami and it's just, you splurge, right? Instead of getting, you know,
let
what I'm
me
saying?
Get 220 pieces.
Exactly. I just had a guy spend $5,000.
Have you guys ever been to Miami?
Like, spent five
dinner.
Grand.
Just one, like,
I love it.
What, his family?
No, I don't know who he was with.
$5,000 on a dinner. That's crazy.
Right. You know, I had another guy spent, he dropped $30,000 at Mr. Jones. Somebody, please tell me what Mr. Hell? Jones is.
What the hell was
gotta
that?
Gotta be a strip club. Gotta be. With food.
$20,000. I'm like, dude, you could have bought a rental property with that.
So, in your position that you are in now, like,
half that and
you see their finances. Do you see them, like, their daily spending and you control it?
Everything.
Okay.
So, you're reaching out to them like, hey, yo, I just saw you spend $5,000 on a dinner. What are you doing?
Yes.
You're like their coach.
Yes, I can.
But not on the field with their finances.
To hold bring him.
The real question is, if you didn't message him, do you think he would know?
No.
That he spent that. So he's living.
So he's just.
And he's, going, tells he's, them this he's relying. Month. They're relying on him.
I tell them this stuff. I like, it's not a secret because, like, I'm black and I own my own business and I know how this is. Like if he goes broke, they're like, who the fuck was your financial advisor?
Mm. Oh, so you have more responsibility behind it. Yeah.
And so I like, dude, you ain't have no broke Jew? On my white, so, on my watch.
So it's even your job to figure out how to even get through.
It's hard
to them,
dude.
How to be effective.
At the end of the day, they're grown men.
Right.
Because you can have the information, but can you get through to them?
I know they're terrified to talk to him.
Oh,
as soon as they see his name, like,
anxiety. If you get that text,
like, oh god, here you go, here come Key.
Some guys don't, like, most guys, like, they don't care because they're like, we'll get another one.
Do you hit him with that early speech? Like, bro, I'm not taking you as a client unless you let me know that you going to hear what I got to say. If you can't hear me, I got to go. Do you give him that speech?
Guys,
you,
I mean,
you know, yeah, before practice with your kids.
Because some guys, like you, like, I'll get a guy, like, that will sign him, like, dude, I ain't spending nothing. Right? I'm like, all right, we'll see you the first month. And the first month, I know what he's going to be, what he's going to do.
Oh, so you've already seen it.
Because, like, you know, like, once you get
bread.
I mean, it is hard. Like, I don't know what I would do if I, like, one of my guys, he was like 21 and his first check was like $7 million.
His first check.
First after taxes.
We ain't counting your pockets or nothing.
He grew up in like a small two bedroom apartment.
Oh, he's going bananas.
Yeah, a nuts.
Me, so, like, and my boys, like, what, like, there's no, like, concept. Like,
there's $7 million right now.
Conception of, like, what that. You'll see right numbers now on a screen and you're like, dang, I got $7 million. But, like, what does that really mean? It's like, I can get anything. Imagine, like, you right now, I can get anything. I can go
right now,
buy that Rolls Royce.
I would literally right now take
both of them on
we
a
buy houses right next to each other and land.
And that's what guys do. They'll go rent. Like, I had a guy randomly went to Miami and spent $30,000
on BBLs?
On a house for the weekend.
Damn, he should have just bought one. That's a down payment.
Mm-hmm. But he made,
makes no sense.
He made 12 million.
Other side of Miami.
He's 25. He made 12 million last year. He's gonna make 10 million.
So it's like, was it his birthday? That's like kind of like a drop in the bucket. Like, hey, yo, for this good time, for this month, I'm gonna
that's
just go ahead.
That's what he's thinking about. In my mind, I'm thinking, you You could have bought a freaking duplex.
You could have bought something that profited you 30K to pay for that weekend.
The worst thing.
Or have the weekend.
Hey.
Work out. Stay in shape and get another $12 million next year.
This is a teachable moment, right? Majority of these guys don't understand that when they make this money, the things that they want, right? The jewelry, right? What black jeweler you know?
Bars.
None.
Bars.
Cars. What black car dealership owner you know?
Marco.
So we're getting this wealth transfer from our athletic ability, right? Just think about the guys that have come through Beaver County, which is Beaver County's goat, right, for producing athletes.
Mm.
The wealth that's coming from us playing a sport, we're giving it right back to the people that literally don't care about us
at all.
So they already got it. The jewelry.
They control everything, though.
No, none.
Car dealerships. Ain't no black car dealership owners.
The banks. What are we talking about?
And so it's all conditioning. Like, why would I buy a $50,000 chain? Just like you said, there are people in their 401k, people that got millions of dollars
in
their 401k.
He plays with so much money.
And they don't even know.
But bro, how's that work? He bit my mind.
My goal is like I still drive my Camry. And like I want to get a new car. And thank God I could get a new car. But it's like, why? I'm like J. Cole. Like, I don't got no rapper car outside. Just
you wear a do-rag to sleep at night?
Right? Because why? I really don't. Why am I buying a depreciable asset?
You got to pull up in that thing. Then they'll be like, oh, yeah, I got to listen
home. But that's
home.
The thing. It's like,
I got to listen to home.
And that's on my dad, dude.
If you pulled up with a Tesla.
Seven cars, bro.
If you pulled up with a Tesla, I feel like you get more clients.
That's 100%.
That's why you listen to your pops, because your pops had them seven whips outside. Like,
yeah,
I want them.
Your pops, because your pops was.
I'm not saying you don't do bad.
Economically,
I'm not saying you're not doing good, but your pops knows what's going on.
Yeah, it just don't make sense though. Why do we need to show people? Chopped cheese? Why do we need to show anybody that we got money? Why?
Man.
We don't.
I mean, that's true.
If you look at your Fidelity account, you see that you got $10 million. Who cares what anybody else knows?
I think it comes back to goal setting. Like, once you got that money, if you have no goals or no purpose with that money, you know what I'm saying, you're still looking for fulfillment. And I think sometimes flashing money to the air on Instagram gives you a sense of fulfillment. Majority of it
is people want to know. They want people other to people to know that I got money. The bag.
Yeah.
And 9 times out of 10, I feel it too. But the thing that happens,
we live with people called women.
But the thing that sucks, bro,
about
that,
reason we get
women are blood suckers.
But the thing that sucks about that, bro, is like when you start doing that, and I'm real conscious about this. I'm going through it with my little brother right now. Is that when we as a community, when we do that too, is that our own people start hating on us,
mm-hmm.
which sucks. So we're doing it to show that we got it.
Can't relate.
And then when we do it, our own people fucking they kill us for it.
Right.
That sucks.
It really does.
Ain't no love out here. No love.
Stop looking at me.
So we don't have those problems in the white neighborhood.
We just hate each other in general. Man. So white man falls, we just step over them.
So let's break these down, your steps down in the steps just for an IG reel. Number one,
emergency fund. 36 months, fixed expenses.
Savings.
Example, rent, utilities, car payment. Make sure your shit's straight and your credit doesn't get messed up.
Write it down.
Because you lost your job and, you know, you got all your money in Bitcoin. That's worthless right now.
What's number two?
That hurts.
Goal?
Number two. Well, the first thing is goal, right? Okay. First thing is setting a goal, right? My slogan my coach gave me is a goal without a plan is a wish. It's a hallucination.
Which coach?
Larry Johnson.
Okay.
He's a goat. He's one of my clients now, too.
Right here.
Yeah. Nah, that's his son.
The running back?
Yeah, that's his son. The son is the running back. The father's was my coach.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
From The Rock. He signed with The Rock.
Yeah, he did.
All right.
Yeah.
So we got goal, emergency fund.
Emergency fund. Once your emergency fund is done, figure out what investment vehicle or tool will get you to those goals, whether it be investing in the stock market, whether it be,
buying a real estate property, whether it be putting money into your 401k, right? Because when you put money into your 401k, if your company matches, that's free money.
Right. Why not do it?
Why not? It's free money.
But, right? but most companies don't.
That sucks.
But if they do, do it.
Yeah.
And
if they'll match you, match it.
And think about what insight you
have.
At least
match up to the match. If it's 3%, at least put 3%. Because it's pre-tax dollars.
Even if they take the tax out, like it's there. They're taking their own money out. I mean, it's not your money.
It's like you said, it's pre-tax.
It's
pre-tax. If they're doing it up to 10%, that's what I do now. So they do up to 10%. So 10%? I do 10%. Yeah, they do 10%.
That's really good.
Yeah, they match 10%. So, that's, I mean, you're forced to. Before, when I first started there,
that's kind of unheard of.
I was doing like 3 to 4%. And one of my guys at work, so he's only been working there for about 10 years. He's already got like $200,000 in his 401k. And I'm like, what? He's like, listen, I match whatever they give. And he told me, he was like, yeah, it's 10%. You better do 10%. I don't know what you're doing. So
at least.
Yeah, now I do 10.
You don't even see it come out of your paycheck because it comes out pre-tax.
Pre-tax. Right? So they take
that out first, and then they take all your taxes out.
Right.
Yeah.
Right? So it's your paycheck doesn't even change.
Right, right.
And I had to learn it the hard way because my first job, I was like, fuck a 401k. I need my money because I got to pay for my son that's about to come.
Right,
as much money as I can.
Oh,
so congratulations. So goals.
3 cents.
Set that emergency fund up. Right, that's the foundation. Once you get that emergency fund up, whatever you need. Right, so in the stock market, we try to say you want an 8 to 10% return. That's typically what the S&P is going to give you historically on your money. So that's what you can kind of expect. And so with that being in mind. You know, kind of set it up that way. But insurance, life insurance. Please get some life insurance. I don't know if you guys just heard of Chadwick
Boseman.
Dude didn't have a will or estate or life insurance.
Most people don't.
Dude, he left.
So what happened?
He left his family with like $1.5 million.
That's it.
Right. What? The other... I think his estate was like...
Get the fuck out of here.
His estate was $3.8 million, right?
That's it?
Because he didn't have a will and a trust, the government took half of it. People don't know that. So there's this thing called estate taxes.
Yeah.
That if you don't hit the... if you're over the exclusion... Right, so it's like so, Trump. That's why a lot of people like Trump.
Should he put it in a trust?
So Trump increased the estate tax liability. Yeah, I think I'm saying that right. He increased it from like, before it was like 5, he increased it to like 11. So if you died with $11 million and under, none of your assets are going to get taxed by the government. But if you, let's say you died and you had $20 million, right? That $11 million would be excluded from taxes.
But that the rest of the nine
is subject to 40% tax.
40%?
40%.
It's crazy. And you already gave
a lot of people don't even know about that. That's where life insurance comes into place, because if you have a $10 million life insurance policy, right?
Or not. You can pay for that tax.
Right. It basically negates that tax bill.
Yeah.
Right. So when you die, you get the 11.
Okay.
Right. And then your life insurance policy kicks in. It'll give the family that other 9 to pay that tax bill.
That's thorough.
Now you get the whole 20.
Got you.
Okay.
Damn.
So what would you say number 4 is? Do you have a number 4?
Do you have a number 4?
If you don't have a number 4,
he gave a solid 3.
I have a number 4 I want to add to.
Okay.
What's going on?
My number 4 is either get yourself a Kevion or... Hear me out. Get yourself a Kevion, someone that evaluates, pays attention to what's going on, and can hold you accountable. Or have yourself I always talk about my self-evaluation meetings, where you sit down and you remind yourself of what your goals are, and you decide how much you're going to spend and how much you're not going to spend this month based on your goals. Budget. That way you're not impulsively spending 60 tomorrow, unless that's in your plan. Have yourself a Kevion or be your own Kevion. You know what I'm saying?
I get that.
Yeah, but most people
It's like how expensive are these motherfuckers, bro?
Bro, it's crazy.
Yeah, what percent you getting?
What?
How does your payment work?
Yeah, like? What's your percent? So we get a point. Typically, you get a percent. So like, a client,
1%,
let's say he has $1 million. You get basically 1% annually. Right.
So, what do you mean he has $1 million in all of his assets?
All the assets that we manage, right? So percent on a million, that's 10 grand a year.
Okay.
So $2,500 we bill every quarter. So $2,500 every quarter.
So you let them little $40 million kids.
Is there clients that you turn away because they don't have those certain kind of funds?
No.
Like, is there a low?
That's the, I guess. Because, like, this is
because if you're
doing they ain't got that much money and ain't got much work.
That's right. Can I be client?
No, I'm just saying, like, why would you work with someone like,
hey, what's 1% of Van
Roethlisberger and then me coming there with, like, no money?
Wouldn't he just be less work?
Well, that's the thing, though. Like, and that's the kind of the, how can I say it?
Yeah.
That's where I've, like, I feel like I probably, I failed, not failed, but that holds me back. It's like, dude, God's blessed me with this information. Like, why wouldn't I, like, help you?
Okay.
It's not that hard, you know what I'm saying? So, like, typically if somebody comes and asks me for help, like, I'll help them out. Like, what is it? It takes, what, 10, you know, 30 minutes, you know, of my day to help you set up a Fidelity account, give you kind of these nuggets. And typically, like you said, it's not a lot of work, right? If I can help you set – if I can help set you up, like, why wouldn't I do that?
See, now I feel like I know him now. I could never go through him. I don't want him seeing nothing that shit. I'll be by. Hey, yo, see one of them OnlyFans.
Well,
accounts?
No, I'm not going to be as detailed, like, right? I'm not doing like that, but like to help, like, get you set up to get an investment account and stuff like that. Like Fidelity, I mean, I'm sure people.
Everybody
know
has Fidelity,
everybody
right?
Has Fidelity account. That's what
you
we
do.
Use. So I can help you set up your Fidelity you account and help you get started. Like, why wouldn't I?
They send
you
statements, you know? You think it's
just almost like your tithes. That's you paying tithes.
Yeah, dude, I'm not going to like say, hey, I'm not going to work with you because you don't have $1 million.
Okay.
You know, like, now I'm not going to, like, you know, some guy I do, like, I talk to him every day, right? But
you got veneers?
Yeah.
Things. Nah.
Do you feel like you have,
he said braces.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you have imposter syndrome?
What's that mean?
Imposter syndrome is where you don't feel like you have the right, like, I guess my real question is, how come you haven't started a podcast? Like, I literally was on the phone with
all this information.
I was on the phone with Derek about a few months ago. Like, yo, bro, why ain't you vlogging, being the receiver coach of the receiver coaches?
Yeah.
And me and him were talking about imposter syndrome. Be like, I'm like, bro, he was in the pros. Like, people want your information.
And he should have had a second round pick, by the way.
Right, my question is, why don't you have a podcast?
I probably would do it if somebody like did all the planning and I just came.
You want to just come in and just talk?
Are you talking about Murr?
Honestly, bro, I probably should do because you're like the third person that's told me.
Are you talking about Murr? Because Murr will do it right now.
I should probably do one.
We have to talk about it.
It's a lot of work.
I definitely want to get you started. We got the recession proof event that we're going to work on.
Yep, we got another one.
Me, him, Wells, Mark Lay.
Wells going to be in the building.
Wells going to be on there.
So what are y'all doing?
We're creating a recession proof event where we're going to bring Mark Lay.
I've heard like some good things. He got
you're holding an actual event for it.
Yeah, we're trying to bring in some big wigs, people that could really give everyday people advice,
I'm excited to meet him. He was like one of the first people that like that, because it sucks when you tell people, especially when you're like networking, like, oh, I'm a financial parent, and people are like, oh fuck, this nigga wants my money, like, I don't want nothing to do with him. But I know he was like one of the first people that
he's a good
that
dude,
I knew man. About, and he was doing it really big, and I've heard that he kind of took the fall for whatever. I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
But
I don't think anybody really knows what really happened. But like,
yeah, I'm excited to.
But he knows,
and he's from here.
He knows this is out. Yep. He's from Alcoa.
Yeah, I think that'd be great to see y'all.
He's
connect.
A good dude.
I'm excited for that.
So yeah, we're working on that. You know what I mean? Hopefully from there, you know what I mean, I can definitely help you start this whole journey, because it really ain't hard. It's just really getting past thinking, oh, because you know that there's people that are smarter than you, or that know more than you, or that have been doing it longer than you. You might be like, I shouldn't do it because fuck that. You got the juice. You know what I'm saying? And you come from the mud. You come from the mud. You know offense and defense. Not too many people who know defense can teach people offense. When we're talking finances,
I didn't think about it.
You either come from this side or you come from that side. You got both. So
because both, right, man. Everybody plays defense. Yo, don't you touch this head again.
What the fuck? Why was this? This nigga, his middle finger was all the way over here and his thumb was.
Hey, man, glad to have you on, man. Yeah, appreciate the knowledge, man. Appreciate the knowledge, man. Good time. Definitely, for sure.
No doubt, man.
Good episode.
Great time.
Oh, yeah. Everybody got to rap it then. Let's get these bars right.
You got some bars?
Yeah, he about to prove to Pops he got these bars, man.
Yo, word is gone. I'm word is Pops. I've been in the trailer park. You know what I'm saying?
That's hilarious.
Where we at?
It's coming.
Keith. Start it off.
Cause. Oh, damn. I ain't got the cord to connect.
Mariah Carey on, bro.
We got Jay. He's from North Carolina. J. Cole. Or DaBaby.
Hell no. DaBaby shoots people twice.
There we go. Uh-huh.
What is that?
It's on my phone.
I said she's just walking through the street for no reason.
I thought you showed him pictures of Keith's family.
Baby Walter. Baby Walter. That's the hook. Baby Walter. Lathan. Baby Walter. Shit. Damn.
Yeah, Murd. You got a spark.
You're a rapper, motherfucker.
You're a rapper.
Step one, get your goals together. Step two, emergency fund, nigga, with gotta storm the weather. Get clever, what's them avenues, homie? Get it together, 401k, hope you get like 10%. And me, I grind, I got to sacrifice like this is Lent. I only eat some fish, I'm down to Jerry's curb. Pulling up on the curb, smoking the herb, you know defense. We on one side, you play the both. I do the most, these niggas low, they throw up siege. What's your gross, what's the profit, do the most. I get more, we talking multiple streams of income.
Hey, yo, that was hard.
He was cool for a minute.
His beat, could you give me that Devin the Dude vibe, you know what I mean?
Ooh, I can't rap, bro. Shit. And he got the, listen, I'm more scared of his camera than my camera.
Whose camera?
Key.
Oh, shit, I didn't see it.
One, and I gotta go. Because one of my clients is calling me.
Oh, shit.
So
one of
my clients is calling.
One of my clients'
mom
is calling.
Clients'
mom.
Back.
I smacked my back like Ty Jen.
Appreciate
that.
What?
White
bitch.
She was good.
We